All right, everybody, welcome to episode 32 of our Dice Haven Actual Play podcast. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit us at patreon.com/dicehaven to learn more about the show and access bonus content. And you can even follow us on Instagram at Dice Haven Podcast. I'm Mason, still the GM.
And I'm Stan. I play Jadis Gant, a warrior priest.
And I'm Bailey. I play Tassan Nar, a human computer specialist.
And I'm John, and I play Cradinal Almasaurian Kane.
This is Chris. I play Ruben Glazer, the Harkoon Engineer.
There it is.
And this is Jeff. I play. Spade? Yeah, I spay. Well, I'm not spayed yet. That's coming.
Spay and neuter your
pets. With my stats right now, I might be soon to be spayed if I continue to take damage. But this is Jeff. I play Ta'ari, Hatal Warrior.
Spayed. We should start doing over under bets on whether or not Chris is going to howl.
Well, we can't tell Chris about it then.
I'll take that action.
I was going to say, Chris will take that action all day long.
Whatever I guess, it needs to be the opposite, because when I think he's not going to do it, he does it.
We're going to use you as the guide on which way we should bet. Nice. Okay, so we ended last time with a pretty easy walk in the park fight with the giant robot, right?
Tassan came through.
Not scary at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think there was any worry. Everyone seemed fine. And then with the growing, approaching fight that's outside of the city of Lanteen, something blew up and did some damage and shut off the artificial gravity. So now the planet is in low gravity state. And we basically ended right when everyone was loading into the van, if I remember correctly.
So I have a Jeff question to see if Ta'ari would know. Those klaxons we heard at the end of last session. Now, we all know Phil Antigrav went away, right? But
yeah,
are
that.
Those indicating that the dome had breached? Is that like a standard protocol? Like, hey, there's an atmospheric leak, so there's a certain klaxon. Are those standardized across the Imperium? Like, would we know?
The one that was going off there, I don't think it would be necessarily standardized.
Okay.
Maybe within the Imperium, but this is way out of Imperium space.
Okay, fair enough. So
you're like three,
we just know there's alarms going.
Yeah, just jump time, not counting the time in system, you're like three or 4 weeks away from Imperial space. So
I think
you're about a month out. If you include the time, because you know you jump to a planet and you're in system for roughly a week, give or take, you're probably almost 2 months out from Imperial space. But it was, given the timing of the alarms, because they actually went off before the anti-grav went off, it probably has something to do with the approaching battle, or potentially damaged, right? So far, the dome is still intact. So the anti-grav went off, but the dome's still intact.
Okay, so we're not seeing a giant fissure in it or anything like that right now?
No, not yet.
Yet.
Yeah, yeah. that's a good question. Hope that answers it. So what you probably would have seen if it were earlier in the day, you know, not in the middle of the night, because you guys are about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning at this point, is people running to some kind of shelter when that alarm went off. You know, think like 1950s Red Scare America, the nuke's going to fall, everyone get into your bunker.
Oh, right. Duck and cover.
Yeah, duck and cover. Yeah,
it always helps.
Some people, go ahead.
It always helps to be under a school desk when a nuclear bomb goes off outside your window.
So helpful.
Yeah.
it doesn't hurt any, does it?
Very safe.
It doesn't hurt, but...
Practice that a lot.
Hey, you know what? You do what you got to do, I guess, to...
Doesn't hurt. Doesn't help, but it doesn't hurt either, to Jeff's point.
It could hurt.
That's true.
Like the nuke could melt the metal of the desk on your back, so that, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I think getting under the desk was more for about surviving. If you were far enough away that maybe parts of the building would collapse, but you survived the blast.
I think it was to stop the rioting.
Just get under the desk.
Under the desk.
It also gives people a false sense of security. Like, oh,
exactly.
I can do something.
To do. Exactly.
That's very
true. I didn't mean to derail.
No, that's okay. This is a good conversation.
I kind of feel it's appropriate, though, given we heard the alarms go off. We're like,
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And you guys wouldn't know definitively, but given your experience, it's safe to assume it probably has something to do with either the fight that's going on outside, or maybe more appropriately described as a battle, or the apparently imminent loss of anti-grav, because that went off. Cool. I know some people took some damage. Everyone's still good there. I believe it was Bailey who was running Daxon last time, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, you and still got... Jadis still on the building at this point, or have I scrambled down to the van?
You're still on the building, I believe. I think we ended where the robot had just gotten destroyed, and they were moving to go down the stairs, and that's when there was a loud explosion.
I believe that Jadis had already left the building and was just on the ground, I thought. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, we can start there. I mean, that's...
But
Jadis, I'm
okay with that. It would make
Jadis
sense
was at
that
the chicken place across the street.
Oh, right.
Right? He's like, I just got my food.
All the chicken in our van.
Yeah. Love that chicken.
Now Jadis has the very difficult choice to make. He just placed his order, but now it's time to go.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
No,
order
wait
shakes,
a minute.
We'll wait.
Wait a minute.
Nice. Okay. You guys picked up there. I don't think anybody was unconscious, and we'll pick up there with the gravity going off. Jadis, we'll say you kind of, you know, fireman slid down the ladder.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I reckon you go unconscious at 2 stats, right?
2 stats have to be 0 to go unconscious, yeah.
Great. Daxon,
John, I forget. Is Kane injured at all?
Kane Captain has taken 2 points of damage. Like I said that?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So if Ta'ari sees Kane Captain is injured, I'm going to sling you over my shoulder and run for the van. If you're gonna,
we were right at the. I'm assuming we just walk in the van, but okay.
Well, I thought we were further away.
Well, yeah, you guys are basically like in that stairwell coming out into the bay. So if Ta'ari wants to grab him, you know, you're I guess far enough to carry him a little.
Personal
bit.
Bodyguard. There you go. I'll take the ride. I'm gonna complain.
It's gonna be the fireman over one shoulder and just run to the van.
Okay.
A real quick mechanical thing, just for everyone going forward. Low gravity is anything that's a planet size 6 or lower, which is 0.7 gravity or lower. That implies a -1 modifier to pretty much all physical things you attempt, with one exception. If you have the skill Athletics Dexterity, you instantly acclimate.
Interesting. Don't have that. Didn't learn that in college. Right?
So I have Athletics, but is Dexterity a specialty?
Dexterity would be a specialty, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I have athletics.
I have that.
Yeah, right. Ruben has dexterity.
Nice. So, Ruben, you will not be suffering the -1 modifier because you've just got the dexterous ability to instantly...
My paws.
That's right. He just goes to all fours. And Jadis, I almost called you Stan because your name on the screen is still Stan. Jadis, as you slide down that ladder, you get to the bottom. You notice this because you're outside. Up above you is this kind of... bright beacon, perhaps, looking thing that comes streaking out of the sky straight down, and it hits the ground maybe half a mile away, and this huge explosion goes off.
And did it originate from inside the dome? Because we're...
No, outside the dome.
So it was outside the dome, and it landed inside the dome?
No, it landed outside of the dome about half a mile.
Got it.
It hits the ground. There's a huge bright light. The ground vibrates. Those of you in the building, as you're running to the van, you feel this very low rumble that kind of just rolls through where you're at in the ground. Then the dust shakes off the buildings, and you can just hear it. It's a very concussive thing. Big chunks of debris from the ground start like plopping on the dome and sliding down to the surface. And Jadis, you're outside. So you saw this. Give me an intelligence. Do you have any tactics related stuff?
Yeah, I have just regular tactics at 0.
Okay, give me that, but give me a boon because of your history.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I have, I got a 10.
All right, you got a 10. What you immediately connect between the two, being a former Marine, is that was some type of orbital bombardment.
Okay, that makes sense.
Which probably means that the battle on the ground is being matched with something up in space.
directly above you. Cool. All right.
Guys, there's we have orbital bombardment coming in. So they've got backup from orbit, which is not good for our survivability of this scenario. We need to go.
So I if that's the case, I'm certainly grabbing King Captain over my shoulder. And I'm saying, this one highly suggests we put our masks on. Like, turn to that deadpan, and I'm like throwing you in the car as I say that.
So I thank you, Tahari, and I sit down in the seat next to Ruben in the passenger side. Tassan, you in here?
I was going to ask Mason. So when they were fighting up there, I was trying to start a fire in the office. The office trash can, is that going?
Yeah, that trash can is definitely burning.
Okay, all right. I'll scoop whatever other papers on there, and then I'll run for the van.
Okay, and you're not that far from the van, because
I remember that corner. Yeah,
that bay, there was one in the front and back, but it was one big open bay going across with that elevated platform in the middle for trucks and stuff to back up to.
Okay.
And there was a door that went from the office to that bay, so you're pretty much right there. In fact, you sweep those papers in, and as you start coming out of the door, you know, to fan that fire, you see Admiral Kane step out and then get thrown over the shoulders of Ta'ari as they run to the van.
Oh, that's weird, but okay, Admiral Kane must be dying. Oh, no. Oh, no.
And my head kind of pops up on the back, and I look at Tassan. Shrug my shoulders.
Done. Okay, all right. Just getting a free ride. That's weird.
Well, I feel safe.
Hey, Tassan, why isn't Ruben giving you a free ride?
I don't know. That's a good point.
You haven't honored
he's
him
driving. He's because he's
he
driving.
He will. Yeah, he's going to fondle my fur if I put him on my back.
So. Also true.
Yeah.
You might be able to get him off. He might nuzzle in like a baby monkey on your back.
Every time Ruben gets near to Tassan, he leaves.
That's a mental picture.
He's a fur fondler.
Oh. Tassan, hop in. Ruben, we got to go pick up Jadis. Let's move.
Hi, Captain.
So you guys hop in. Who's driving?
Ruben.
Okay, so Ruben, as soon as you pull out, you see Jadis. He's running in between the wall and that chain link fence, and he can, if he wants to, he can beat you around at that gate that was on the south side of the building.
I do.
Cool, yeah. So you guys get over there, get in the car, and only thing, I guess, left to do, unless you want to do something in town, maybe get some chicken to go.
Do I see that the building's on fire as the office is starting to catch on fire?
You can see the smoke inside there and the light from the fire. And it's Hassan,
did you do that?
Yeah.
That was genius. I give you a high five.
Thanks. I figured my fingerprints were all over the place, so from typing.
Well done. That was in the moment of crisis.
Plus, might be a distraction. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll make a good infiltration officer after all. That was great.
I've been thinking about another career, so that'll work. Hey, Tari, are you gonna eat all of that chicken breast, or are you gonna? I mean, I'm kind of hungry.
We gotta get Jadis.
I'll shove the bucket over to you.
Oh, thanks.
This is not the time for sustenance.
I'm pretty hungry. It was scary in there with the fire.
The fire that you started.
Is there a spare Gauss rifle laying around? I know we had a few.
We have two Gauss rifles. One is being held by Jadis, right? I thought.
Another I think Jadis and Daxon, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you can always ask Daxon to give the rifle to someone else, right?
Well, she's probably a better shot than me. I just was looking for a weapon that was more range.
Oh, yeah, I give you mine. Okay. I have the heavy auto rifle. Take that.
Okay, yeah, because I have a shotgun that's good for sweeping buildings, but not for
shooting, take that.
So I'm going to then break out the side window. Side windows, and then prepare to fire out the side if needed.
Tahari, stand down. What are you doing?
I've already
the window's
window.
Gone now.
I know you have. I'm like, great. Could you block your fur and the wind that's blowing in now?
Deposit's gone.
There's a war zone outside, and precious seconds could be wasted by breaking the windows.
It's a good thing you have Ruben driving. Because he's not suffering the minus one. So give us a drive check, because I'm assuming you're in a hurry, right? Are you just going to kind of meander your way through town?
Well, is the fire, the artillery and stuff is really close by, and we're hearing, like, shocks and stuff?
Yeah, especially orbital bombardment is, like, epic. artillery.
Yeah, Tahari spot on. We're in the middle of a war zone. So, yeah, we need to go get Jadis as fast as we can.
Yeah, well, Jadis is, he'll be there at the gate very quickly. He just runs around the fence and hops in.
Did he bring the order from the chicken?
We'll say he comes around there, and Jadis, you get to the side of that van right when that window explodes outward and you see Tahari aiming his gun.
What are you... Tahari?
He's very motivated, Jadis. Get in.
Okay. Jadis, father, prepare for combat.
What's that chicken smell I smell as I get into the car?
I got your sides, Jadis. Oh, wait, you can eat meat today, so here's your
three-piece. I can eat meat today.
Oh, that's what I said. You can have, here's your three-piece, remember?
Thank you.
It's Monday now. Man.
Oh, it is Monday now.
Yeah, it's past midnight, so now it's Monday.
Give the chicken. Okay, give the chicken to Tahari. You can't have it. You can have the mashed potatoes and the biscuits.
We got you a tofu bucket.
Ruben's right. I'm going to look over Ruben and say, are humans always this preoccupied with food in the middle of tragedy?
Hassan is, yes.
Sometimes when you get nervous, you just got to eat.
It's a human condition. We eat our emotions.
Eat our feelings. Yeah. Oh, I love lentils.
The lentils. Yeah, that's
good. Big bucket of chicken, the gravy. Oh, so good. And their chicken nuggets are spectacular.
Okay, so if you're in a hurry, make a driving roll, especially because it's low G. And even though you're not suffering a negative modifier, it's still low G. So,
what up, G?
Give me that 2d6. Goodness.
10.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Not everyone can do this, but you actually managed to drift a little bit in low G.
Wow.
In these corners.
That's impressive.
I would like to howl while I drift.
You sure can. Is your window down? One arm leaning out the window?
And yeah, actually, my head's out, like all dogs do. I put my head out the window while
so I'm then going. I'm leaning out my window and giving a Katal battle cry along with you.
Oh, man.
Random.
I lean over to Jadis and I whisper to Jadis, I'm like, Tahari is totally changing Ruben. He's reverting to his bestial form.
I envision Ruben turning on some kind of a space rock music, you know, that to, yeah.
Or he plays like the boys
the
are back
in midnight snow.
Yeah.
I also see like Ruben has a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
And he pulls his shade down. Right as he looks at the camera, just pulls his shades down.
Yeah. Even though it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, he's wearing shades. As you come, you do your first drift, and you know, remember I mentioned there's that random person, this homeless guy that was walking around last episode. He's standing on the corner and just looking at you, totally confused. As you come drift around the corner, and you're howling out the window, and Tahari's letting out a battle cry.
Hey, Ruben, slow down a little bit. We're gonna spill the gravy back here. I wanna spill all this gravy.
I speed up.
Oh.
Yeah, Ruben, get there quickly. Hassan, get your grip on the gravy.
You get about halfway to the like the dock area that you went through before, and there's another bright streak of light that comes down from the sky and hits the ground about the same distance away, and there's the same thing, like there's this deep rumble kind of sound, and you see more as you can't really see over the buildings because you're driving, but you're getting the impression that things are kicking up in intensity and most likely getting closer. Okay. Due to the shaking of this ground and all the craziness, give me another driving roll.
That was even better. That's an 11.
Good night. You managed to ramp off a curve and you're onto it a little bit. It's very over the top and unnecessary, but you get back in one piece in a very fashion towards the gate where the docking and unloading bay was, because you actually landed outside, rented that van, and drove out to get your stuff, right?
Right.
So now
I'm assuming we all have our masks on at this point. I know I would have pulled mine on.
Whoever says they've got one on's got one on.
I've got one on.
Got one on, and my goggles.
I'd prefer if Tahari places mine on my face for me.
I will. Kane Captain, this one is honored to do so, and I lean over and put it on your mask.
Sorry, I got it. I'm just kidding. I put my mask on.
I'm going to start treating you like an elderly, infirm father.
Which is accurate, you know, like shaky hand.
Like, wipe, help kill your prey for you, like snap its neck right before I present it to you. Thing.
So happy.
All right, so you come barreling down the street towards the gate, you know, the... Not gate, but the what's the phrase? The hatchways that would go into decompress or recompress, whatnot, and get back out into the atmosphere, which is toxic. It's not compression, but it's more cleaning the air so they don't bring it inside. And there's some guards there, and they see you just, you know, Fly the Valkyries is blaring, and you're leaning out the window howling, and there's a Katal in the back with a gun aiming out one broken
window. Oh, no, I wasn't hanging the gun out the window. Oh,
okay, so just a broken window. You guys come running at it, so they see this, and there's two of them, and they get their guns at the ready, and one of them's holding his hands up, and he's yelling at you, you know, clearly giving you a visual signal to slow down and stop.
I will stop, but I will do a few donuts as part of that stop, just to impress them.
Okay, so give me a drive check. Let's see how well these donuts go, because this could be very fun or very bad.
Those are pretty bad donuts. That would be a 5.
Okay, so you go for a donut, and in the excitement of this, trying to just show off because you're just adrenaline's flowing and you think you've made it out, you turn and actually slide sideways a little bit, bump a curb, and blow a tire. So now you're tired.
Bump, bump.
Yeah.
Son, that was your fault.
But all the gravy's still here. I put the lid on, so...
It was too much gravy. It was too quick.
The guy... But you basically conveniently stop basically right where they're at. So yep. it's a good parking position to be in, but you got a flat tire now.
We're shoving our weapons under the, at least me, under the chair.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you point that out. So they approach.
I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah. All right. So you shove your weapons under the thing. They approach. The window's blown out. But what they immediately see is weapons are not. One or two of you are wearing carapace armor.
Yes.
Which is banned.
Me,
on the
I am.
Surface. And reckless, crazy driving. So they instantly level their guns and they start yelling, "Get out of the vehicle! Get out of the vehicle!"
Stun them. I say on the subdermal.
Punch it.
No, I said stun them on the subdermal.
Oh.
I don't have a. Oh,
I will talk to them while someone stuns them. So I get out and I put my paws
and
up.
And real quick, visibly they're wearing flat jackets. So.
Guys, easy. We just delivered a bunch of medical supplies to the troops out there.
Yeah, I remember you. But when you came in, you didn't have on the armor. Get on the ground. Get on the ground. I think. I think we've got some spies from the enemy. They're all in here armed up and I think weaponized. Please send assistance.
I toss a smoke grenade.
Okay, so you throw a smoke grenade. Give me a throw check there.
Athletics test, yep.
Yeah.
My instinct to ram them was appropriate.
I
got an 11 with a 10.
I was hoping for snake eyes, nice. So like you'd accidentally miss and
car.
Drop it in the car.
Yeah.
So you get it out there, and it lands right in between them. And they go, grenade! And it poof, goes off, and now there's smoke all around them. Ruben, you're kind of caught in the smoke.
Punch it.
Well, Ruben
Warrior, in the car!
I hop back in, and I'll punch it, even though we have a flat tire, and see if we can get that
back.
So,
is the airlock closed, Mason?
Yes.
What gun did you hand me, Kane Captain?
The
ACR?
No, it's the heavy ACR. It's the big one.
Does it have an underslung grenade launcher is what I'm wondering.
Yeah, it does, and there's a smoke grenade in there.
Oh, there's
yes,
there's
an underslung grenade launcher. Okay. All we have is two smoke grenades.
How sturdy is this airlock? Like, does it look like...
It looks pretty sturdy.
Okay.
You can give me, like, a recon check.
Okay, well...
Mason, this is the airlock. This is the airlock to what?
To get outside of the city, because the atmosphere on this planet is actually toxic, and so there's an airlock seal that's really there to keep the toxin out, and they're reinforced because it's just airlock seals, right? You don't want them to go bad.
Yeah, so I reiterate with the smoke up, stun the guards. We have IR goggles on. We can all see IR, so we can see them. So stun the guards, and then Tassan, let's get on the airlock and hack this thing so we can get out of here.
Okay.
I rolled a 7.
A 7 for what? Do you recon? Mm-hmm. All right, you think you might be able to take this door down. with a grenade.
King Cap, we have a smoke grenade, though. I was thinking if it was a normal grenade.
It's, it's not going to take the door down.
All right, so Tari, you're assessing the door. Captain threw a grenade. What's Tassan and Jadis and Ruben doing? Ruben, you're out there distracting him when the grenade goes off. So what's Jadis?
Tell me when I can go again.
So, go ahead, Ruben.
Captain had called me back in, so I'm back in the driver's seat, and I am. Are we right at the door at the lock?
You're not right on top of it. Maybe 75 yards away.
And this is all.
I'm gonna keep my donut skill going. I'm gonna try to hit the guards as I'm spinning around on the with the van. See if I can knock them over.
Okay, Jadis, what were you saying?
So this is an airlock that the entire vehicle can get through, is that right?
Yeah, it's an airlock that lets any vehicle come in and out of the city.
Okay.
Well, land vehicle. You couldn't bring your ship inside. It's too big.
Okay. I was poised ready with my stunner, which is a melee-type device. Wait, is that right? Is the stunner?
There's two types. There's a stunner.
No, it's range.
Melee and there's a range stunner. So I think you've got the stunner pistol thing.
So I would try to roll down the window and take a shot, although that may be obscuring smoke, so I don't know if I can see or not.
Do you have fire goggles on? You can see.
Oh, through. Right.
Yeah. All right. So what's your dex modifier, Jadis and Ruben?
I'm at +1 for dex.
+0.
All right. So Jadis, as Ruben, you're taking off to hit him, but Jadis, you get a chance to shoot them before that happens. Tassan, did you want to do anything?
So we're at a checkpoint before the airlock, and what's the distance between the airlock and the checkpoint?
About 75 yards, so about 3/4 of an American football field.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I'll stay in the car because I don't want to run 75 yards. So.
Gotcha. And they actually came forward a little bit because you were driving super crazy, you know, to
right.
Pretty. So you probably plenty, like, I don't know, maybe 10 yards ahead of the actual checkpoint. But yeah.
Right.
Okay, so Jadis, make your shot.
Yep, so I got an 8.
Okay.
Does that hit?
Oh, and you're shooting out of a moving... I won't worry about it. I was going to say there's a negative because you're shooting out of a moving vehicle.
He's going before me, though, so I haven't punched it yet.
So you got an 8, so you'll hit the guy.
Okay.
Roll your damage.
So I got 10 damage, and this is non-lethal... stun damage, which is deducted from endurance.
Right.
And then if endurance goes to 0, they're incapacitated for a certain number of rounds.
They have a flat jacket with pretty rudimentary armor, which is +5. So 5 of that gets through. So guard, I'm going to call him guard 1, so we just identify him.
Okay.
He's not down, but he's a little shaken.
Okay. Very good. Okay.
And then I'll call guard 2, he's still fine. So guard 1.
Are there just 2 guards?
Yes.
Right now, outside. Yeah, we kind of went into a combat. I'm doing it sort of.
Yeah.
You know, theater.
We heard that he called more, but right now there's 2 that we see.
Yeah. Tassan, you want to do anything? You said you were going to get out and run, but it's too far.
Yeah, it's too far. So, I mean, I'm not going to run 75 meters.
So they're going to go, and they're going to kind of.
I do have a question. What would Daxon do? I mean, she. I don't know.
Daxon had a stunner. She'd stun him. Although she would probably. She would be far less concerned about whether or not these guys live or die. Her primary objective is to get the thing off planet.
Okay.
So if she's armed with a weapon to kill, that's probably what she would do.
What weapons do they have?
Oh, they've just got like submachine guns, just really basic submachine guns.
But they're using deadly weapons, though.
Yeah, but not surprisingly, because they're
security
for in a combat.
John, what weapon did we give Dex? And did we give her a Gauss rifle? Right?
As a Gauss rifle.
Yeah.
Okay. She would shoot with that. If you're saying that, then she would shoot.
Yeah.
I don't know whenever you want her to go. So.
Oh, she'd go with you. Just.
Okay. All right. Well, let me look up a Gauss rifle, and then I'll go.
Oh, yeah. Gauss rifle is 4d6 damage.
I think it's it has auto fire 3.
She's going to try to hit both if you want.
And it's got AP5, so yeah.
Okay. All right. So she rolls to hit. So is there a way to hit both of them in one round?
Yeah. If you did the auto, you could shoot 3 shots, and you could shoot like 1 on this guy, 2 on this guy here.
All right. First shot
That is a... That's an 8 plus 4. You said she's plus 4 hit, so she is 12.
What's her dexterity right now?
Oh, her dexterity is a 9 right now.
A 14. She'd be a 3, because your dex... As your dex gets hurt, you do get lowered, so...
Oh, it does degrade as you take the damage?
Yeah, there was some errata that came out for that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because my dex is now 0.
Yeah.
Alright, so then she rolls a 8 plus 3, which is 11.
Okay, so she'll hit that first guy with an effect of 3. Was that guard 1?
Yeah.
Okay.
46?
Yeah, 46.
Well, this got to be toast.
13?
Oh yeah, he's gone. Because that's a... just barely, interestingly enough.
The second one... 7 to 10 to hit.
Yeah, so that's an effect of 2.
Not as much damage. 1, 2, 2, 4, 6, 6.
6 damage?
Yeah.
Alright, well, that guy's not down. Surprisingly.
Did she get 3 shots, or did she only get 2?
Yeah, she would have 1 more.
Second shot at that guy. That might not hit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
7? Oh, she missed.
Missed.
Alright, so she and just unloads. And she probably says something like, look, no offense, but we gotta get out of here now.
Right. That's what she says.
Yeah. And so the other guy, he's kind of come stumbling out of the smoke, trying to figure out what's going on. Jadis, Ruben, did you get your chance to do your roll and try to run him over?
I have not.
I think we skipped you there. Okay. Let's roll that beautiful beam footage.
And the smoke's a 9-meter radius, so it goes 9 meters on both sides.
Oh, yeah, you guys are pretty much all covered in smoke for the most part.
8 was my roll.
Okay, so you will be able to run this one dude over. Give me as much damage as he is, he's just going to be knocked out. And if you want to try not to kill him, I'm assuming?
I don't care at this point.
Okay.
I'm going to, if it's where's he at? Am I going to give him a glancing blow, or is it a head-on?
It's really, you're driving, so I'll let you decide that, because he's in the smoke trying to find his way out, and you come around with your flat tire.
I will say I'm not intentionally trying to kill him, but as I punch it, and he wanders out of the smoke, he's right in front of my path, so I'll probably roadkill him and keep going through the checkpoint and onto the lock.
Okay, so you're going to do... 12 more points of damage. Minus 5. It's going to be 7. Right? 12 minus 5 is 7, yeah. Oh, wow. He's literally 1 point from dead.
Thank God.
Or 1 point from unconscious, I'm sorry. The other guy might actually... Yeah, no. How much damage did you say she did to the first guard?
She'd be like 10 points of damage to the first guard.
Okay, so he's not dead. He's just unconscious. He has 2 at 0 and 1 that's very close to being 0. Mm-hmm. But he's not technically dead.
The first guard is still not unconscious, though. Or the second guard.
No, he just did it because it took 6 damage. Because his first shot took out guard 1, knocked guard 1 unconscious. Mm-hmm. Didn't quite kill him because you need 3 stats at 0 to straight out die. This one took 6 damage and then he just ran him over. For some enough to knock him unconscious.
Oh, good.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're right. 1 point shy of being unconscious. He needs 14 points to go unconscious. His thing is at 13 damage. So it's his turn, though. He kind of gets knocked over. He gets up. He's a bit disoriented, and he's going to open fire at the van. And not with 4. So he misses. So he just kind of and bullets hit the van, but no one gets shot. All right, you guys could go.
I have a question. When he was calling for reinforcements, normally, like, it's my thought would be they'd look in the direction they expect reinforcements to come from. Did we catch that at all? Like, tactical? I know you're going to ask me a recon check. But...
I am.
Okay. No.
Okay. You don't know. Okay. You think he did put his hand up? We need reinforcements.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I guess we're all in the car, right?
Yeah. Oh, and so he goes last. So he just shot. So at the beginning of this round, you see two more guys coming out of the bunk where the actual checkpoint is, about 10 yards ahead of you, and they're decked out the same way. They come out of the little building there.
Okay, I'm... Yeah. What gun did you give me, King Captain? Was that a heavy gauss rifle?
Yeah, it's the heavy ACR.
What the heavy is that in? Advanced combat rifle. It's page 113 if you have the central supply catalog.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah,
113.
Yeah, auto 2, bulky scope, and has a 4d6 damage.
Jeez.
Okay. Yeah, it's got the same damage as your gauss rifle, but it doesn't have the armor piercing.
Yeah. I just, the other gun I had was a shotgun, which is probably not best for this longer range situation.
Right. Oh, they're 10 yards away.
50. It's, the range of the shotgun is 50.
50 yards?
Yeah.
It's really far.
That is really far.
Yeah.
Unless I just read that wrong.
Well, it's definitely not 50 meters, I imagine.
Yeah.
So, well, they're
whatever, 10. Whatever range is, it's 50. Yeah, he's right. Whatever range.
Yeah, so you could, if you got your assault shotgun, you could use it.
Well, I said I had the heavy ACR, because in my mind
that holds his assault shotgun. It's in my lap.
Okay. All right. Yes. Well, you can pop some shots off. You've got auto too, so you could shoot full auto and hit two separate guys if you wanted to, or the same guy twice.
I'm gonna make sure one guy's dead.
All right.
So, and I look a little sheepishly over at King Captain as I open fire at this guy.
And I'm shaking my head.
But at this point, they're gonna shoot at us, and I don't. Stunner will not reach this range. Oh, I closed it by mistake. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, so I'm rolled a hit. I have gun combat 0.
Plus your dex.
Oh, my dex is 0 right now.
Okay.
That's 9.
That will hit. You only need 8, so you got an effect of 1.
Okay, so 46. I guess there's no way to call non-lethal, right?
There is something about that. It's been a while since I've read...
I thought it was bladed only.
Yeah, I think it has to make narrative sense. I don't know how you do non-lethal.
Yeah, with a heavy comet. So that was 9.
Hit him in the big toe.
Full auto on his big toe.
I fired his toe off.
You did 9?
That was 9, yep.
Okay.
Well, plus the shift, so 10 then.
Okay, so 10. All right, so these guys have the same armor of 5, and you don't have AP, so he takes guard 3. We'll take.
Let me roll the second shot.
5 damage.
This one got a 7 right on.
7 right on. So that will be missed because you need 8.
You need 8. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I missed.
You shoot. Now you every when you do full auto, you use the auto score.
Yeah, right? Times 3, right?
Times whatever the auto trait is.
Yeah. So I have that.
Or something like that. Yeah. Somebody want to double check that for me? But you use more bullets when you do full auto. And you've only got 30 round clip, so okay.
Oh, you can do separate targets as long as they're within 6 meters, and it uses a number of rounds equal to 3 times the auto score.
Okay, so
I use 6 rounds.
Yeah. All right, so you guys, kind of popcorn. Unless you guys don't have a specific order you want to go in, then I can just pick and choose.
Why should I use my smoke grenade? I forgot I had it. Sorry.
Well, is that going to help? Because we already had a smoke grenade, right?
So these guys aren't.
They're further away. They're between us.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Granted, we're driving towards them, so we might drive up right through the smoke this turn. I don't know.
Yeah, you're basically kind of coming out the other end of the smoke, and they're coming out of the building.
Right.
All right. You guys still have it, unless you.
I'll try to stun one of the guys with my stunner.
Okay.
Was he within 10 meters? I forget what the range is.
Yeah. I've been saying yards, meters.
Okay. All right. Very good.
He's within 10 of whatever this game system uses.
10 units. Oh, they're really close, then. I thought they were further away.
All right. Is an 8 going to hit?
Just barely.
All right. Very good. And so they're going to take 11 damage. And this is a stunning damage.
Were you shooting the guy who just got lit up, or were you shooting guard 4 who wasn't touched?
Guard 4.
All right, 11 damage. 11 minus 5 is 6. So he is not quite down.
Ah!
He's 1 point shy of being stunned. Okay, we got Ruben, Admiral Kane, or Tassan.
There's one guy still standing.
2 guys, yeah.
All right. Daxon will fire again at them.
Okay. Got one dude that's taken 5 damage and one person who's taken 6.
Alright, she'll do the full auto thing. Then you can restrict up the number of the auto score they detect. Let's see if the first roll is a 9.
That hits with plus 1 effect.
And she does 9 points of damage.
Alright. Against the guy who was had 5 damage?
Yeah.
So 9 and 5 is now 14. So he just drops unconscious.
Okay. She'll shoot this her second shot at the other guy. That is a 7 plus 3 is 10.
Okay, effect of 2.
And that is 13 points of damage.
All right, 13 and 6 is 21. This guy takes a bullet to the brain pan and drops limp forever. He had his, just a 7 across the board, and he had exactly 21 to take him out. So she just plop right in the face, and he goes down. All right, no more guards are coming piling out at the moment. You guys have gone through the smoke. You basically are right at the checkpoint where they came out of, that little guard booth or whatnot. You got the gate, the airlock in front of you.
I'm going to shout to Tassan. Tassan, where's the computer you need?
Right here.
So I'll charge in the building to make sure it's clear before he goes in.
Okay.
Go ahead. I mean, so the airlock, I assume, is that something you walk up to and...
I don't know if it's outside or it's in the building. Yeah. I don't...
The guard... Driving, yeah. Oh, go ahead, Ruben, sorry.
I was going to say, driving-wise, I'm just... If we need to go through a gate, I'm going through the gate. Wherever the airlock is that we're trying to get into, that's where I'm stopping.
Gotcha. Well, if you go to the airlock, you're going to blow past the guard building here.
Okay, Mason. I don't know. Ruben Endgame would not know that they need to stop at the guard place, so I'm going to blow through the gate and keep going towards the airlock.
Okay. Is that Kane that asked me a question?
Yeah, and the other side of the airlock is basically just open planet, correct? And then we'd head to the spaceport from there, is that correct?
Yeah, which you're just you're docked out there in a little, very rudimentary spaceport landing pad, and it's a double airlock. So you pull in, shut the interior airlock, open the exterior, drive out, and it would close right so they can keep that contamination from getting inside.
Gotcha. And how far away is the ship from the other side of this airlock?
Not that far. I mean, you could get there if we were tracking combat turns. You'd get there in 2 or 3 turns probably.
Oh, so it's probably less than like a couple hundred yards.
Yeah, it's not that far.
Okay, got it.
Because cool. Where you land is kind of an unloading area for supplies and stuff to come in. Yeah.
Okay, so my action, I get on the comm and I say, Braddock, start the engines, prep the ship for launch. We'll be there in a few seconds. And Braddock's our AI.
Okay. Ooh, I need to come up with a Braddock voice. Should he be?
It's going to be Cockney. Hello, Governor.
Hello, Governor.
Hello. Captain. Cheerio, mate.
I like that a lot. And every week you said it. No, and every week we set it to a new accent, like
just to mess with
bastards. You Singaporean, exactly.
Yeah, Tassan does that every time we're in jump.
But right now, Hulk Hogan.
I'd like it to be Hulk Hogan, please.
I don't even know if I could do Hulk Hogan's voice. I haven't heard it in forever.
I know. Right?
What's up, brother?
Fire thrusters up, brother. Activating engines, brother. Exactly. We're going to put the pain on those ships up in the orbit, man.
That'll be next week.
Oh, God, what was the name of it again?
Braddock.
Braddock. Braddock comes back and responds, understood, Captain. Preparing ship for takeoff. You might be interested in knowing, sir, that there seems to be an orbital bombardment landing nearby. I would suggest we hurry.
Yes, and tell me once you get the engine started and get the turrets ready as well.
Understood. So you guys get in to the door, the inner airlock, and you're just parked there. You're going to get out and look for a panel, I'm guessing.
Yep. I'll look for a panel and see the, you know, cut it and then have my computer so I can interface with it if I need to.
Okay. So you find a control box that you could probably pop open and somehow wire into it. It's not an interface setup. It's more like what you would open up if there was mechanical problems with the door.
Like to hotwire it, maybe?
Yeah, and there's ports, right? So a mechanic or engineer can come by, plug in, and diagnose, and that kind of stuff. So you could plug in.
But you get the impression that the primary controls are probably back in the guard shack that we've been blew right past.
Yeah, I'm figuring there's got to be some way to operate it here in case.
Oh, yeah, right here is where you do it. You would plug into this.
Right, yeah, so that's what I'll do, yeah.
So I'm while he's doing that, we're covering him with a rifle.
Gotcha. What's that, Ruben?
Drop this, and I say, drop the smoke.
Okay.
All right. And Ruben, you said
in there.
As an engineer, can I assist Tassan?
Sure. I mean, you could probably do it yourself.
Would I recognize any way to kind of just lean over his shoulder and say, oh, yeah, you got to...
Yeah, so there's two ways you could go about it. You would identify ways to maybe pull levers or reconnect wire cables in a certain way to make it happen. And Tassan would be plug in a computer and do it through programming.
I gotcha. So like six of one, half dozen of the other. Okay, so I'll leave it to Tassan.
Whichever way you guys wanted to go. So you could assist him if you wanted to. Like,
I'll just stand guard, and if he calls me over, if he's having trouble, then I'll come over.
Okay, so Tassan, give us that roll, and you guys drop smoke. Poof.
Yeah, put smoke between essentially the guard shack and us to give a good wide coverage of us what we're doing right now.
Gotcha.
That's 12.
12. All right. So you do your thing.
I'm assuming it's a computer's roll.
Yeah, for you it would be.
Okay.
So you do your thing. You get through very easily. The doors, you hear the cycling process begin. Where, you know, it clears out the internal chamber and then opens up the door. And that's when you hear a vehicle rushing down the road behind you with sirens going off.
All right.
Are we obscured by the smoke at least?
You guys are. And you could probably... You can see through the smoke with VR and you can... not VR. Virtual reality. With the IR. And you can see that this vehicle's coming. It looks... Clearly, like it's some kind of security-related vehicle, right? Not a tank.
How far away is it?
It's down the street, so we'll say it's going to be to you in about 2 turns, so 100 meters.
So how long will it take to drive through the airlock and close the door? I'm shouting that to Tassan.
Tassan, you know, if you get in the car, it's going to open right now, and that'll be around, you know, drive in, and then it will round two will shut.
Well, 12 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, so in my head, I'm doing the math. We need to slow them down. So if I can, I said I was prepared. Can I try to shoot out one of their tires?
Yeah, go for it. It'll be a slightly harder thing to do because you're shooting at a smaller object, right? And it's coming straight at you. So let's say it's a -2 to your roll to hit this guy.
I have a banked boon. I'm going to use that. I think this is probably a good situation to do that.
How far away is it, Mason? How far is the vehicle?
Oh, about 100 meters.
I'm going to check the range on that gun.
I think it's 450.
In that case, you get a +1 to hit because of range, then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It's within half of the range category. You can also not move and get a +1 for aiming. So if you don't move, you can just stand there.
Yeah, so I've been standing there, aim through. I was prepared, so can I say
you
I was
aim
aiming?
At a thing that's not there, but you can aim right now. Right, so it just got here, so you can get one aim action and then shoot.
Yeah,
okay, well, I got a 10 without the aim. If I take the aim, will I still be able to get in the car? Or can I walk through the airlock? Am I giving up my move to aim?
Basically.
Okay, then I won't do that because I don't want to hold up the group. So
if I remember right, because it's like you can move and do a main action, or you can aim and then do a main action.
Okay, so I got a 10.
In your main action for two small ones, you could like move kind of thing.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a 10.
Okay, so you get a 10. So with a -2 gives you an 8, or is that... Did you already calculate the -2?
That's without the -2, so I got an 8.
Okay, so you hit the tire. No effect, though, so roll your damage.
Oh! I
got
two.
You guys are going to make me come up with the hit points of a tire on the fly.
He was one.
So 16 points of damage. To a
oh,
tire.
Man, I just decided totally random.
To use glass table.
Oh, yeah, do we have a table for, do you have enough force with that gun?
Shattering glass.
Oh, God. Don't start that.
I just decided to give the tire 17 damage, so you're just one shy.
Oh.
You blow the tire out. It goes out, and there's a little bit of careening they do. I'm going to make a roll to see.
I was aiming for the front tires, though. I know I didn't specify it.
Oh, I assumed that, so.
Yeah.
Good job. Oh, and they lose control and go off the side of the road. They don't crash horribly. The vehicle's no longer in motion.
Okay, perfect. And then I'm assuming this is all happening at the same time. So then they're going to continue to drive us. So I'll step through the airlock, like with the car. Presumably, it's pulling forward.
Oh yeah. So it, when I say one round, like at the end of this round, it will open.
Okay, then I'm going to get back in the car.
Well, you can't. You can get back in the car in the next. Oh, you didn't aim, right?
I didn't aim, right?
Okay, yeah. So you get back in the car. Sorry. All right. So Tyree, you get in the car. What about, see, Hassan, you operated the thing.
Right.
You ran over and operated it, so you, I guess you can get back on the car in the next round.
Okay.
Jadis, did you ever get out of the car?
Nope, I never got out.
All right, Ruben?
As soon as the lock is open, I'm back in the car and driving in.
Okay, and then Captain Kane, you didn't get out of the car, right?
No, I just went on comm. I was in the passenger seat next to Ruben.
Okay. And then Daxon is probably stayed in the car too, unless you wanted her to get out. But she's got a Gauss rifle, which has a range of 600.
So, no, she's in the car.
Yeah, she's still in the car, yeah.
Yeah, so she can shoot. If you guys want, she'll shoot out of the car. Also, if she is smart enough to recognize whether or not you need to engage. Right. So she might say, well, these guys are far enough away, it's not really necessary.
Yeah, she's
that would be my counsel.
Yeah, she's not engaging right now.
Plus,
yeah,
the
guys she
ditch,
shot
because
they were like right there, and she's
I get it.
So she won't shoot unless you want her to. All right, so they kind of start piling out of the car and running down the street, and they're using these SMGs, which have a range of 25. So nobody's shooting at you yet.
That's cool, and we got the smoke between us too.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
two things of smoke, right? We had the first at the checkpoint, and then. Right,
so from their perspective, they pull up, they see smoke, and their tire blows out by a giant round.
And then the door hopefully will close, and then we can get to the ship before they can get it open. Yep. Can you jam the door?
I can probably take another round and do that.
I don't do it. Let's go.
All right. So you guys, the door opens up. Everyone hops in. You drive the vehicle through. The door will shut at the end of this round.
Cool.
Ruben, pull it all the way up to the other lock. I mean, like, all the way forward.
I didn't think about this, but you guys, no one's operating the controls in the booth. You had to hack it to open it up, so you would actually need to rehook up and tell it to shut again. From the inside.
You can't just have it cycle. Like, it has a cycle.
Okay, you can, if you want to have it, like, time it, you could do that.
I mean, doesn't it have, like, a standard cycle that it does to let people through, or is it all remote ops?
It would depend. Like what you did was hack it, so you kind of totally bypassed the standard process. So, but you got a 12, so we can. That's high enough that we'll say you could do that.
Okay.
Cool. Push the gas, Ruben. Let's get to the ship.
But as an out of game thing, the reason they don't want to have it automatic is because it depends on what's coming in and out, how fast it moves, how big it is. Like, no two things will move the same way. So, but if it's always set to be like every 10 seconds it shuts again, you know, you may run into problems.
Yeah.
Ruben, punch it.
So that door shuts.
So how long is this thing? Is it like one car length long or two car lengths long?
It's big enough for like a semi to fit in there, like a 18-wheeler semi truck.
Okay, so rather than getting in the car, I'll start jogging to the other end to start hacking into the other side of the airlock.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and you can get there in basically a turn. And it's wide enough that you could probably drive two of them in. So it's it's sizable. So you jog over there and that door closes. You guys are inside. You get to the computer, give me another roll to see if you can plug this thing in.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11. If it's a hacking, then that's actually 12.
Okay. And it's really good you shot that tire, because they would have been at the booth and they could have opened the internal and stopped you from cycling the lock.
That's why he did it.
So well played, gentlemen. Well played. All right. So you get this same thing. It starts to open up. You guys and... You know, the outside air comes in, got that toxin, but you got your mask on. Go ahead.
Real quick, as the door is opening, I'm going to caution, they could have guards on the outside. So I'm going to have my gun readied out the window, pointed just towards outside the door.
Okay. So you're all sitting ready, and the door opens up, and not too far away, maybe, about 4 football fields away. So that's, 400 feet, give or take. There's like a Humvee-type vehicle that's bolting the opposite direction from where the battle's at. And there's another really bright light and another orbital bombardment hits over towards where the fight's at. But I mean, out here, there's like you can almost feel the very faint edges of like the concussive blast.
Oh boy! All right, so
very intense.
After the airlock opens on the outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get back in the van. I'm gonna leave it open.
Okay, that works.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Because then the door might not want to open itself.
Right.
So you,
or,
you like
or at the very least, they have to program it to close on the close it. Right. Yeah.
Okay. This will be an extra thing because this is separate from just opening the door. So go ahead and give me another roll to see, because you want to open it and try to make it a challenge for them to get it closed again, right?
No, I'm just leaving it open. If I'm overriding, I was just overriding it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I'm just telling it to open and stay open.
Okay. Cool. So you guys drive. It's about
genius.
You know, about 2 combat turns to get over there. As you're about to get to the vehicle, over the comm, your computer tells you that the engines are primed, the vehicle's ready for takeoff. And it says, "Would you like me to lower the ramp for you, sir?"
Yeah, immediately, as soon as we get close.
Very well. About that time, you hear what sounds like a sonic.
In fact, drop the cargo. We're just going to drive in the back.
Okay.
Drop the cargo. The cargo ramp. We're just going to drive in the cargo ramp.
Gotcha.
Just drive the van straight in.
That works. So you can see the ramp coming down for where that's at. You hear a sonic boom coming up over you. Anybody who looks up, you see what looks like a flaming comet-like thing shooting across the sky, careening straight towards the planet.
Incoming!
And it looks like the remnants of a spaceship. That's probably damage and coming back in.
Oh, man.
It's basically careening. It's hard to tell, but it looks like it's heading for where you guys are at, that poor part of the city.
Oh my gosh.
I tell Braddock as soon as we get in, get us off.
Understood. Kane Captain. We both said it at the same time.
Go ahead, Tari.
Kane Captain, this one does not want to presume, but if we launch directly above us, we might be considered a target. It might be good to stay low, get around to the other side, and then go into orbit.
Yeah, that sounds good. I just want to get us away from this physical area in case that thing's landing on us.
Yes, but if we shoot up, we might be a target for anti-air.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's what I was going to say, was stay in the atmosphere and go around to the other side of the planet, then get out.
Yeah, so Jadis, as soon as we park this thing, get to the bridge, take control, and take a snap of the Earth.
Yeah, stay low.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That's a very good call, actually. I had already prepared. If they go straight up, here's things that are going to happen.
I figure there's a space battle above us. We go right up, and then we're like,
Mah. Yeah,
right.
Paint a bullseye on the back of it too.
Yeah, don't mind us.
We could do that. That'd be cool.
We're not the ones who just blasted through all of your security guards. Don't mind us. All right, so you guys get on the ship. Uneventful in terms of you getting onto the ship. A lot of stuff is happening. There's a war going on. This destroyed ship is plummeting towards the planet. Looks like it's heading to this, right in the area where you're at, roughly. Engines are ready to go. So Jadis, you can take over.
Yep.
And give us a roll. As you get into the seat, you see a squadron of jets go zipping over you, because your cockpit is facing away from the battle.
Okay.
And they go zipping over you towards the back of your ship, towards the battle. Which, they're from that direction, they're probably squadron from the Kingdom of Capel, because they currently own this city.
All right. I'm going to get us out of here. And, of course, I'm going to go low, as we discussed earlier. I rolled a 10 on the piloting.
Nice. So you managed to go get off the ground, landing gears up, and you zip off. You could head back towards Dane. That was further away from the front if you wanted to, or pretty much any direction. We'll say west, right? Away from the battle.
Yeah.
Everybody else get to stations, get in your stations. I'm getting in the co-pilot seat next to Jadis on the comm and electronics.
I'm in gunnery.
Admiral Kane, should I, you think heading to Dane is the best route, or perhaps just heading out to the middle of nowhere? Maybe we'll be less likely to be perceived as a target.
Yeah, visually, take us the fastest path away from the city and in the direct opposite direction of where the conflict is coming from. The conflict's coming from the other side of the city, is that right?
Basically east, just for...
Yeah, so take us west, then nap of the earth.
Yeah, and that would be the same direction that those that squadron of fighters just flew by. They came from the west, right?
Yeah.
All right. Tassan will get in the other gunnery, the turret position.
Tassan, okay. Run comms. Oh shit, dude! I want you here to run comms.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
Well, the computer can run the other turret.
Okay.
I have just a setting question. I imagine ships have like a broadcast beacon to declare what they are.
That's exactly what I'm about to do next.
Yeah,
that's
okay. Exactly, is it like going. Broadcast that's that we are an unarmed freighter? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, every ship has a registration ID number that's universally known. You always ping it out when you come into a system kind of thing and ID yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to do, is make sure, and Tassan, stay on comms. If you see anybody targeting us or whatever, immediately pick them up on comms. And if that doesn't work, I'll start running electric jamming. I'm on the scanners. So I'm running the scanners. I'm letting Tassan run comms. If we see anybody, Jadis is Nap of the Earth. Ruben, I'm assuming you're in engineering.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Cool. Right.
So you guys are doing all this as Jadis takes off and starts flying across the ground.
And Mason?
Yep.
Before we get too far, did Tari carry Captain Kanan into the ship?
Well, that's a very good question.
this one really did not, question. Because there was not actively things shooting at him.
I asked Daxon, do you know how to shoot a turret?
I wrote down her stats here.
She has gunnery 15.
Give me a sec to pull that up.
With her dex, I want her in a turret.
Well, it's not as good as it used to be.
Probably better than I am, to be honest.
Actually, Tassan's not bad if he aims.
She would just have a very basic training in a turret. She wouldn't have
No zero skill. She has zero skill, like a zero skill.
Yeah. She wouldn't have. Sorry,
head up to the turret. Get to take the other turret.
Yeah, with her deck,
her endurance is currently zero, and she's lost like what, six or four or five points
off her deck. Yeah,
so she is wounded pretty badly, but she'll head to a turret and grab on a turret, which is all controlled from your bridge, right?
Yeah, there's actually two chairs. They're the chairs behind this where you can sit stand there.
Okay. Yeah, if you want a human control it, you can, otherwise.
We have three turrets or two?
We have three turrets. Good. And then okay, the third one is missiles. There's two triple beams and a missile. I'm assuming you're on a triple beam.
Yeah, and then we can have the computer run. We can slave a computer to run one. Okay,
exactly. Virtual crew can shoot on their
And
own.
Can we have it set to? Can I? I don't know if I can control it for my station or not. I don't know the system. Can you slave it so whatever like I target, it targets type thing, or will it? I just don't want to accidentally shooting something.
I can verbally direct the thing. I can even give you the ability to verbally direct it as long as he can run those two softwares. Otherwise, we just have it run virtual and shoot.
I just, in this situation, if it accidentally identified a threat, it would be bad.
Yeah, we're not having it. I'm not having it fire right now. Okay. That's a great point.
Oh, so I see. Then, yeah, because you got a missile, 3 pulse laser, 6. So you got 2 triple turrets of lasers.
2 triple beams, yeah, and 1 missile.
Hopefully so then I'll slave one of them to my voice then, because I have Gunner once, presumably I know how to do this. Okay. And that way,
Ari, just to be clear, you probably won't let me run the turret because I have to run the computer here.
Okay.
And me and Tassami have to ship out software loads. Like, depending on what we're doing, we may be running Evade. There's other different software configurations. And
okay, that, so this takes
voice control,
up
the voice space. Control takes 10 slots of our 20.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, now I get it. Thank you.
All right, so everyone's got their positions?
Yep.
Okay. As you guys are taking off, there's a squadron of jets that comes alongside you, and they come over. Cat's Claw, identify yourself. Who, captain of the vessel?
Hassan, you switch comms to me?
Yeah, I'll switch comms to you, yeah.
Yeah, this is Captain Kane. Thank you so much for the escort. It's getting hot down there. That thing looks terrible. We're just trying to get out of here safely.
I would call this an escort here, there, Captain Kane. And he interrupts you, but... He sounds, you being in the military, he comes off as he's got a job to do and he's not looking for pleasantries, right? So he interrupts you. He's like, I just need to identify what your purpose is here and where you headed.
Oh, we're heading off planet immediately. Given the attack, I wanted to get my crew out safely. We're extremely concerned, so we're heading hopefully into orbit quickly. In fact, if you want, I'll file a flight plan with the space station on the way up.
That would be advised. Continue along the path you're heading now for two more clicks before you head to orbit. That should get you out from under the orbital fight that's taking place.
Okay, and if you guys have a guy to spare to give us an escort out, I'd appreciate it, but I understand you got a job.
I'm afraid not. We need to get back to the front.
Okay, best of luck. Looks it's scary out there. Good luck, sir.
You too. And they peel off and cut the comms.
Let's get the hell out of here, Jadis.
Yep.
You made your roll check already. You nailed it with like a 10, I think, right? Or an 11? Yeah. So you fly out about two clicks before you head out to orbit, and that's where we'll call it end of session 32.
What?
Oh,
man. Awesome.
That was a little scary. A couple of points.
Was it?
Yeah. Were we off screen?
Just about. So anyway, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
See you. Traveler out. So this has been a Dice Haven podcast. Learn more at dicehaven.com, and please rate, like, and review us wherever you get your podcast. We really appreciate it. Any background music and ambient sounds you hear are provided by tabletopaudio.com, with the exception of our intro music, which is stock media provided by Pond5. Thanks for listening.